Jesus' name.
Lord, I lift your name.
Let's continue to praise him.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My sins you paid from the cross.
The Lord. Let's do that right now. Let's lift his name on high. Magnify him and praise him. Hallelujah. Why don't we just take a moment here and love him. Lord, we love you. We give you praise. We magnify you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory to God. We magnify you, Lord. What an awesome day it was when God came and found us. Praise the Lord. You ever think about where you would be right now if it hadn't been for mercy finding you? It's very clear that we didn't find him. That he opened the door and he found us and he tapped us on our soul's shoulder and invited us into the kingdom. Obviously, we have to make some decisions and we have to comply. But he's already done all the work. He's made the preparation. He's opened the door, made a way, and he comes and finds us. What a good shepherd. What an awesome God. I appreciate him so much. What an awesome time of year when people, in a secular sense, begin to talk about this awesome time 2,000 years ago when God came down from glory, robed in flesh. Isn't it amazing how they handle it every day and they talk about it and they sing about it? They don't really understand what they're handling, but it has the potential of going off in them at any moment. It's a great time of year. People are more open than any other time of year. You need to pull out your testimony and your witness, shine it up. And when you're in one of those frustratingly long lines, you've got a captive audience. Just tell them. Tell them about what God has done. Tell them about who he is. Praise God. Psalms 33 and beginning in verse 1. Wonderful presence of God in the house tonight. Psalms 33 verse 1. Everyone say, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery. And an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Now don't ever bother anybody about church being loud. Okay. For the word of the Lord is right. And all his works are done in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. And if you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, for your word. We give you all the thanks, give you glory and honor for it. What a privilege tonight to handle your word and to know you in spirit and in truth. And everybody say, praise the Lord. David knows God, and David knows a lot about God what God likes and how to please God. And he is the embodiment in the Old Testament of what the New Testament would be in praise and prayer and worship. David is an individual with an understanding of the presence of God and how to come into the presence of God and how to walk before God, and has this intimate dialogue with God, even when Israel is under judgment and even when David is in sin. He comes and has a heart-to-heart and an intimacy with God that no other character in the scripture seems to accomplish. As a boy, he's in the king's court praising and singing with such strength that he drives demons out of the house. As he's on the hillside with the flock of his father, Jesse, he's learning to praise and to magnify God, and he sees the expanse of God's creation. And that vision is a litany throughout the Psalms. He's talking about the heavens above and the handiwork of God continually. We see David with his linen ephod on, and he's dancing down Main Street, dancing and praising and magnifying God with all of his heart. And he in that moment is the embodiment of a priest. But not a priest out of the bloodline of Aaron, but he is a priest of worship and a priest of praise and a priest of prayer. David knows something about God that it is very, very sad. There are many denizens of the New Testament era that don't know God as well as David. Knew him, and he knew him under the law, but somehow David got around behind the law or down underneath the law or pressed so closely and intimately into the law that he began to have this wonderful relationship with the lawgiver. And he loves God, and God very obviously loves David. So much so that you see these little vignettes in the Word of God, like when David is hungry and he's running for his life. He stops in the temple, and he goes into the temple for food, and all there is the showbread, and that is the exclusive bread of the priesthood. But David goes into the holy place, and David eats the showbread, and he is in violation of 100 Levitical statutes and rules and laws when he does that. But if you remember what we read last time we were together, Paul teaches us that if you walk in the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you walk in the Spirit, you're walking with the lawgiver. There's something dynamic that shifts in your experience. And he eats of the showbread, which was illegal, but God didn't care because it was David, and he had this intimacy with God. He understands about walking in the Spirit. And if you would, this is going to be a continuation of where we leapt off into on Sunday night. We're moving through the Psalms, but David is the motive force here in the Psalms. And his relationship with God is what we're engaging in and celebrating. He has a familiarity with God. He has this wonderful familiarity with the presence of God and the Word of God, and he knows how to commune with God. David is very, very clearly led by the eye and not by the bit. I know there are episodes in his life, but I'm just telling you, in his nature and in his character, he's walking with the Spirit of God as an Old Testament character, much like a man like Samuel or one of the Old Testament prophets. Praise the Lord. We talked about it Sunday night. It is good for us to talk in tongues. It's necessary for us to shout and to dance and to worship God. And in every service that we come together, it is necessary that we have a free flow of the Spirit of God. You need to have liberty in your prayer time. You need to have the liberty in your home to worship God and magnify God. It ought not be a strange thing for somebody to see you dance a little bit in your house and in your own prayer time. You need to have a free flow of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God says, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's necessary to have the truth, but it's necessary to have the Spirit. Somebody say praise the Lord. And I don't just mean having received in the past tense the Spirit, but a walk in the Spirit and an experience in the Spirit. David would say you need to be in His presence. David most often articulated it like that. He talks about being in the presence of the Lord and walking in the presence of the Lord. And don't take your presence from me. Praise the Lord. Psalm 16 and 11, David said, in His presence is fullness of joy. Now that's a challenging statement to every one of us tonight, because we know the Word of God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I know the Word of God. And the Word of God declares that the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want to be able to fight the next battle, you've got to have the joy of God. If you want to get through the next valley, it's going to take the joy. And any other encounter with those adversaries of the kingdom that you have, you're going to have to walk in the joy of the Lord. David said, you want joy? Get in His presence. He said, in His presence is fullness of joy. Now, it's amazing. You can sit in the house of God and you can have a worshiper on one seat and a sourpuss on the other. You can have somebody that looks like they just met God and somebody that looks like they just lost their last dollar and their last friend, all in the same service. But the difference is it's not geographical. It's not locational. It is experiential. You need to get into the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. Now, I'm reading right here. The Bible says clearly that the goodness of the Lord has filled the whole earth. So I think the potential for His presence is anywhere, everywhere, anytime, all the time. You can get into the presence of the Lord. It is just like the dimensional description between that is natural and that is spiritual. The angel of the Lord is encamped around about us tonight. You believe that? Say amen. You see them? Where are they? In your mind? Just a thought? No, they're real. Where are they? They are spiritual beings. They dwell in the heavens or in heaven, and that doesn't mean the starry cascade of God's creation. That has to do with a spiritual dimension. Matter of fact, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he's standing right in front of him in Palestine, and he says, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So he's got a foot on the earth, and he's got a foot in heaven all at the same time. He is that high priest standing at the veil, moving in and out of both worlds all at the same time in His presence. Anywhere you are, angels are there, ministering spirits to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. Anywhere you are, just a prayer away, just a praise away, just a heartfelt entreaty unto God. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Have you ever been in a place where you needed Him and you just called on the name of Jesus and instantly you knew that His presence was descending on you? However it is, some people get goosebumps and some people have hair stand up on the back of their necks, and some folks will say, look at this, I'm feeling it right now, it's all over me right now. Some folks describe it like a wind flowing through, and some folks say it's like oil coming down or something flowing up. Brother Jerry Dickinson used to say, it feels like something bubbling up inside of me, coming up out of inside of me. However you describe it, we're apostolic tonight. We know what the presence of the Lord feels like, and we know when we're in it, and we know when we're not. Somebody say praise the Lord. David said, above all else, no matter anything else, don't even be concerned about it. He said, we need to be in the presence of the Lord. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. My God, it looks better when I'm in the presence of God. It just feels better. The load is lighter when I'm in the presence of God. Well, have your circumstances changed? Not a bit. But something's moving in me and something's on me and my mind is being changed. The further I get from Him, the heavier the load is. The closer I get to Him, the lighter the load becomes. My God, it's easier to smile when I'm in the presence of the Lord. And I can get so sad and so lonely when I'm separated from His presence. Praise God. When you got the Holy Ghost, you smile for 2 weeks at nothing in particular. You wanted to hug the trees and anybody around you. Now, is that true or what? What was that all about? You were in the presence of the Lord. You were waking up in the middle of the night talking in tongues. It was on your mind all the time. You had your Bible. You were calling friends. You were talking to everybody. Presence of the Lord nonstop. David knows all about that. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Psalms 27 and 4, he said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, David wasn't asking to move into the temple. He had a house of his own. He wasn't even talking about physically moving into the temple. He was talking about the presence of the Lord. He said, there's just one thing I want, and that is to be in his presence all my life, to look at the beautiful things of God, think about his beauty and all that he's done and all that he is, and think about the possibilities and to inquire in his temple. I want to just be in his presence so I can talk to him. I mean, my God, he made the blade of grass and he made the stars. He made the little baby's hand and he designed the electrical system for your body. What a craftsman, what an engineer, what an architect, what a God, what a God. And to be in his presence and inquire of him about my little life. Oh, it's a good, David said, I want to do that. And he distilled it down to that one thing. I want to be in his presence. One thing have I desired. Everybody say, one thing have I desired. And that will I seek after. You know, you might distill it down to seeking after a boy or a girl or a dollar or a house or a car or any other things, a career. I'll tell you this, if you'll seek after the presence of the Lord, Jesus pared it down and he said, if you'll seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, all this other stuff will be added to you. Everything you want, every dream you can dream, every hope that you have, if you can redirect your energy to say, let me get into the presence of God, and the rest of that stuff will come after. Now, your carnal mind is hard to convince about that, but it is absolutely the truth of God. You let the things of the Spirit be your focus and your primary cause in life, and everything else that you dream about and you desire in your life, God's going to work with you on those things that are pleasing to Him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, it's always better in the presence of the Lord. I'm telling private jokes there between Brother Sylvester. He met a bad dog in a backyard last night. Now, when that happened to me, they played Who Let the Dogs Out on a Sunday morning. The compassion around this place, it just overwhelms me. David had a bent toward praise. You wonder why David praised so much. David said this, and he gives us the understanding. He said in Psalms 22 and 3, "Thou inhabitest the praises of Israel." He understood that God could build a throne in praise, that God would build a habitation out of praise, that God would literally come down and inhabit a place that was filled with praise. And so you find David praising God all along, but it's not just the praise. The praise is the means. The presence is the end, is the purpose, is the design of the thing. He's praising with all of his heart, but he loves the presence of God. That's why we worship in this house. That's why we're praising God. Now, don't pray. Now, sometimes we couch it in this language, but get your vision up, a loftier sight, a loftier goal. Don't worship God to get the money. Don't worship God to get the healing. Don't worship God to get out of the trouble. Don't worship God for reasons temporal. When they came looking at Jesus for more bread, he said, you're just here because you ate the bread and your belly's full. Which he brought it down to kind of a carnal level. He said, you're not even here because of the miracle. You're here just because you're hungry. You don't ever want to interface with God on the basis of the pursuit of natural things. What you want to do is pursue God for the sheer joy of being in his presence and know that the trouble you bring with you, God's going to become invested in your problem and invested in your trouble and in your needs simply because you're in his presence. Somebody say praise the Lord. I know you want to bring your problems to God, and that's fine, and that's good. But if you'll lift up your vision a little bit higher and just say, forget about the problem. Just let me get into his presence, and God's going to work on the problem. Let me get into his presence, and God's going to deal with my situation. Has anybody found that to be true? David said he inhabits the praises of Israel. So praise is a God magnet. That's why we love to praise around here. That's why we teach it from the ground up. That's why we reiterate it in every service. That's why we drive it, because it's the inclination of your flesh to slow down and to tighten up and to forget how to praise. And if we didn't beat the drum almost every service, it wouldn't be long until you'd just be sitting there staring at me in the middle of a move of God. And it would be hard to get you to do a little golf clap. It'd be really hard to get you to lift your hand, much less step out in the aisle and start shouting and talking in tongues and worshiping God with all of your heart. But praise gets us in the presence of God. Praise is a God magnet. And I don't know about you, but I need God in my life. My life needs God. My family needs God. And if I can praise him, God will move in to the place and build a habitation. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands to him and lift a voice right now. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Lord loves it when you praise him. In the midst of your trouble, bring your trouble and praise him. The presence of the Lord is attracted to your praise. Praise God. So praise is a means to an end, and the end, the objective, is to get into the presence of God. Praise God. The tabernacle is revelatory in a lot of areas. It is in this area of discussion regarding the presence of the Lord, because the objective in the end of the tabernacle in the last room was the place where the presence of God took up its habitation. The Shekinah glory of God was there. And all of the process was simply to get a man into the presence of God and to bring a man who was indicative of all of Israel. And he stood there in place of all of a nation, and he communed with God in that place. Relationship by the tabernacle is defined by the word of God. You won't have... Now, God can visit with you. God will touch a sinner. God will move in a house full of trouble, and God will bless people. He lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust, and he does a lot of miraculous things simply by mercy and by his goodness. But an abiding walk in the presence of God, like we're talking about with David, is something that has to happen by the process of the word of God. Your relationship is defined by the word of God. You can't be in an adversarial position to the word of God or resisting the word of God and have a hope of having a fluid life in the presence of God. You've got to yield to the word of God and just say, God, have your way with my life. Have your own Gethsemane. Get up and go on and don't look back. Praise God. Your life, your relationship has to be defined by the word of God. There is a process of entrance into the presence of God that requires your dealing with sin and taking care of sin in your life. There has to be a sacrifice, and there's got to be a washing, and there's got to be a taking care of sin. It's an abomination for you to come in here with active sin in your life and worship and praise God when it wouldn't take you but a heartbeat to lift up your heart and repent before God. And God will allow you to do that, but you're working against the system, and it's not going to work good for you. It's going to harden your heart, and you are sliding off into reprobation. Don't ever handle the word of God and your experience with God that way. Come in this house and lift up your soul and have God cleanse you, and then worship God with all of your heart. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. You need to take care of your sin, and you need to walk in light and in revelation. And these are the, and we can't go through and recreate the tabernacle plan, but there has to be a constant flow of light and revelation. And you've got to eat that bread, which is the word of God. And then there's a pressing through the veil. I know he tore the veil in the temple, and I know he tore the flesh, he tore his own personal veil, but there's a pressing, and I've got to have energy, and I've got to have proactivity, and I've got to want to get into the presence of God, and it takes the pressing. Jesus said unto John was the law, and now unto John was the law and the prophets, but now the gospel is preached, and every man presses into it. It's the language of the tabernacle. You press in through to get into the presence of God, because your flesh doesn't want to go there. Your natural mind doesn't want to go there. None of hell wants you to get into the presence of God, and a lot of people around you don't want you to get into the presence of God. So if you're going to make it, you're going to have to press in. It's going to be on purpose. You won't stumble into a fluid, long-term experience in the presence of God. It's going to take every day getting up and saying, I'm going to have this no matter what. I'm going to have a fluid experience with God no matter what. I'm going to have God in my home no matter what. I'm going to have God overshadowing my life no matter what. It doesn't matter what kind of day it is or what's on my schedule or what someone has done to me, but I've got too much invested here. Here I go. I'm pressing into the presence of God. Praise God. And in a spiritual parallel there, that for us would be the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord. Now, in the Holy of Holies, or if you would, Brother Robert, in his presence, the manna is always fresh. Outside, when he gave them manna every morning, they took up enough for that day. On the Sabbath, the eve of the Sabbath, they took up enough for 2 days. But if you took up more than you needed, it got wormy and it went bad on you. And so the manna was a miracle. It was the fresh gift of God. It was an awesome display of God's provision. And it was just for today. And it was a wonderful exercise in the didactic. He was teaching us that you have to have some today, but you got to get some more tomorrow. And tomorrow you're going to need some more. And you can't live off yesterday's blessing. The teaching there is full and in a lot of different directions. But in the Holy of Holies, they had a bowl of manna that sat there from the inception of the tabernacle, and it was there until a Babylonian came along and broke into the temple and said, hey, what's that? And a bunch of Babylonian soldiers got around. Hey, pretty good. And they took the cup it was in and they walked out with the rest of the treasure. But that same bowl of manna followed them in the wilderness for 40 years and then into the promised land. And until they fell to destruction at the hand of the Babylonians, that bowl of manna was there. Same kind of manna. They picked it up on the ground. It's the same manna that they had every morning. But it was different because it was in the presence of God. It was in the pure, intimate, unadulterated presence of God. And the blessing of God stays rich and good and true and pure in the presence of God. Now outside, watch this, outside the presence of God, they got tired of manna. And they murmured and complained about it. and the bread would go sour, and their attitude would go sour, and the whole nation went sour. But up in the midst of the presence of God, where David was, you never heard David complaining like Israel. You never heard David belly aching like Israel. He was always talking about how good God was. And for all of his failing and all of his fault, David never did go out after other gods. He was a one God man from start to finish, and it was because he stayed in the presence of God. The manna stays good in the presence of God. Praise God. You know that richness and that excitement and that romance and the magic and the mystery when you first came to God. It's so high energy. I mean, people begin to try to tell you about be careful. But I mean, you're bulletproof and you're just invulnerable and you're going to live for God. And I mean, you're off like a rocket. And for about 6 months, some of you maybe for a year, it's just a heady walk of being alive in God. And then reality sets in. It's kind of like when you married your wife. James Dobson calls it romantic love. The sociologists call it romantic love. And it's infatuation. And it's good and it's real and it's powerful, but it won't last. So then, is it real? I mean, 4 kids later, and his hair's receding. Or retreating. It's a different world. It's a different kind of love. But I've come to tell you tonight that if you'll keep that love in the presence of God, in that close intimacy, that close fellowship and communion. What are you doing here again today? I just love your presence, God. I just wanted to come by and tell you I love you and I appreciate you. And I just, before I go off today, I just wanted to shout a little bit and tell you how good you are and how awesome you are and how impressed I am with ants and spiders and leaves and wintertime and cold air and ice on the tops of mud puddles. And how do you do all that? And the other day, the frost is sticking up out of the ground in crystalline beauty. And how do you do all that, God? I just think you're awesome. Praise God. And your manna stays fresh in the presence of the Lord. The romance that you have with God stays fresh in the presence of the Lord. The less you're in His presence, the more stodgy you get. The more serious and kind of untouchable you get. You're not smiling a lot when you're not in the presence of God. Praise God. You know what? I believe you can keep the romance in a marriage. I believe you can. What you think? She thinks so. I think you can. But you've got to maintain it the same way you maintain that magic with God. Praise God. How are you treating her when you were dating her? That's like when you first came to God. What were you saying when you were dating her? How was your heart beating when you were dating her? How did you feel when you were walking up her steps and into her house? That's how it's got to be when you come to the house of God. You got to keep it alive. You got to keep it fresh. And you do that by keeping your manna in the presence of God. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. Holy Ghost is talking to us right now. The Holy Ghost said this to me about this church. He said, if you'll keep that manna in the presence of God, it won't ever go bad. You keep that relationship in the presence of God, it won't ever go bad. You keep that spirit of yours in the presence of God, it won't ever go bad. There is a preserving influence in the presence of God. My God. Praise God. I'm just telling you, when we're over there with Him on the other side, we will be continually in His presence, and we will live forever because there's a preserving influence in the presence of God. Praise God. If you love Him, clap your hands to Him and bless His name. What a good God.
I just feel joy. I just feel like shouting a little bit, praising him. And why don't you lift up your voice and tell him something good that you're impressed with and some awesome thing that he's done in your life and how you feel about him right now. My God, what a good God he is. How awesome he is. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. In that Holy of Holies, in the constant presence of God, Aaron's rod is preserved. Aaron's rod is the indicator of authority. And it's one of the items that he told them to put in the presence of God or in that Ark of the Testament. And that authority is sustained and preserved in the presence of God. And I'm just going to run through this quickly tonight. I've already planted the seed for you. You just take it and you go with it. I won't be able to finish what we're starting here tonight. But if you are a father and you want to continue to have legitimate authority in your home and with your wife and in your family, you need to walk in the presence of God. Because Aaron's rod is preserved in his presence. The further you are from his presence, the less legitimacy you have as an authority in that home. The more authority you need with your children, the more of the presence of God you need in your life. And as you walk in his presence, children will respond to you. Little ones and teenagers will respond to you if you have the legitimate authority of the presence of God in your life. I'm just telling you, this is not make-believe or theological homemade ideas. This is the reason God put that symbol of authority in that box. He said, in my presence, there's always going to be the demonstration of authority, and it's not an authority that God uses. It is an instrument that was placed in the hand of a man. A man's authority can be perpetuated in the presence of God and preserved in the presence of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Mom, you want authority in that house with those kids? Get yourself into the presence of God. More important than any book you'll read, more important than any lesson you will study at some seminar, being in the presence of God will give you cachet with those children you would gain no other way. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Clap your hands to him. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to tell you this. I want to be transparent to you. The only legitimate authority I have in this church is the authority given to me by God. I don't want to rule your life, and I don't want to be natural authority in your life. But I will tell you this. There is a biblical authority, but I lose my legitimacy as I get out of the presence of God. So it's necessary for me to walk in that presence so that my authority is legitimate in this house. If you're a pastor or a dad or a mom, if I were a boss on a job, I would keep my life in the presence of God because you have a legitimate authority that comes with standing in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. In the relationship structure in the Holy of Holies, there are two figures that are standing there, and they are standing on mercy. They are beaten images out of gold. They are made as one piece with that mercy seat. They are inextricably linked with mercy. That relationship is a relationship that stands, and they look at one another over the sacrifice and over the word of God and where the holiness of God comes down, and they are indicative of a relationship that is based on the principles of God. Those relationships are sustainable in the presence of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. There is in that Holy of Holies the tables of stone, the sharp-edged clarity of the Word of God, immutable and changeless. The further you are from His presence, the more cerebral and scholarly and cognitive the Word of God becomes to you. The closer you are to His presence, the more living It is. And that's a difficult thing to express tonight. But the more you spend time in his presence, the more alive the word of God is in you. There are people that teach this book on college campuses, and it doesn't move anybody in the house, and they don't love it, and it doesn't change a life, and it doesn't impact anybody, and nobody feels the Holy Ghost heebie-jeebies, and there's nothing going on. It's dead in that place. And it's the same word that you love. It's the same word that was spoken and created everything. It's the same word that called Lazarus back from the dead. But the problem is it's just word without spirit. It's truth without spirit. Somebody say praise the Lord. So that word of God that I love and I want to govern my life, I've got to have it in the presence of God. And I want to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm almost done. I've pretty much told you everything I wanted to tell you tonight. But back to the 33rd of Psalms, beginning in verse 1. David, high priest, intimate with God, wearing the linen ephod, totally given to the concept of living in the presence of God. Says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely to the upright. He said, you ought to be praising God. He said, you look better when you're praising God. Come on now, you people all over the world spending billions of dollars to try to look better. You look better just praising God. You can improve yourself 60 or 70% right now just by smiling. David said, praise the Lord with a harp. Sing to him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Bring on the musicians. Sing a new song. Play skillfully and make it loud, boys. This is not a guy that's sold to the cerebral. This is a guy that wants to have the experiential. He said, bring me some music and bring on the instruments. And I want everybody in the house to praise God and do it with a loud voice. For the Lord, the word of the Lord is right and all his works are done in truth. Can you see, David, what he's doing here? He's just reveling in the good things of God. He's just going off about how good God is. It's just coming all over him again. He's trying to sit it down to song and he's going to get Israel together and Judah together and they're going to strike up some music and they're just going to sing about how good God is. And then he expresses something incredible in verse 5. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You know what it does to your mind when you spend time in the presence of God? It makes you look out on a cold, dreary, rainy winter day and you say, man, the earth is full of the goodness of God. People talking rude to you at Walmart and stealing your parking spot and shaking their fists at you in traffic, and you're riding along and you're saying, the goodness of the Lord is just filling up this world. This world is full of the presence, the goodness of God. David's been in his presence. His mind is steeped with it. His spirit is steeped with it. He can't get away from it. It's all over him. You can get in his way, but you can't affect his mind or his heart. He's just thinking, goodness is everywhere. Everywhere he looks, he sees goodness. He looks at you and all your murmuring, your complaining, all he sees is goodness. He sees you and all your fretting and your worrying, and all he sees is goodness. What's wrong with him? He's psychotic. No, he's just given up on, he's in the presence of God. He's made that a priority in his life. It's affected his mind. He's incurably optimistic. 100 out of 100 times the glass is half full. He believes we're going to win. He believes the bad guys are going to lose. He believes the devil doesn't have a chance. He believes good things are going to happen. He believes good things are right around the corner. My God, he believes something good's going to break loose right now. He said the goodness of the Lord is all over this place. Ah, God. Now, where did he get that idea? He got it in the presence of God. It changes your mind. Praise God. Praise God. Now, you got to get this. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. So there's something about the presence of the Lord that just makes you zany and happy. All right? Makes you incurably optimistic. Always looking up, expecting something good to happen. That's what the presence of God does to you. Praise God. What happens when you get with a group of naysayers and negative mongers and weeping willies? Everything's so bad. Let me tell you what's wrong in this church. My God, you don't have enough time for me to tell you what's wrong in this church. And that's a little bit of truth there, but you don't have time, son, for me to tell you. Let me tell you something. You thinking about a career in the ministry? Let me try to dissuade you. Go be a computer guy or an IT guy or something like that. Don't get involved in this ministry stuff because it's, oh, woe is us. This is, my God, living for God, my cross on my shoulder, and it's the hardest thing in the world, and every day is a drudgery, and every day. Not David. David said, the goodness of the Lord has filled this whole place. I see it everywhere I go. Everybody I look at, I see the goodness of God. My brain has been affected. My heart has been affected. Now can I offer you something better than drugs tonight? Can I offer you something better than pharmaceuticals? Could I offer you something better than a 12-step program? Could I offer you something better than a fifth of Jack Daniels Black? Could I'll tell you, if you'll get your life, your family, your dreams, your hopes, your mind, your heart in the presence of God, tomorrow morning things will look better. My God, tonight when you get up out of this altar, things can look better. Not having changed a natural fact of your life. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him. The wonder is preserved in the presence of God. The authority is preserved in the presence of God. The manna is preserved in his presence. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's come down around the altar tonight. As you're coming, say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's Psalm 34, Brother Randy. Everybody say, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man, if you're a woman, you say, woman, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. My God, does anybody in the house believe this? What is wrong with David? What is wrong with David? David is in the presence of God. He's sold out about being in the presence of God. He's going to bring his troubles into the presence of God. He's going to bring his weakness into the presence of God. Praise God. Praise God. Lay your hand on somebody by you. Lift up the other one and just begin to praise him and magnify him. Go ahead and open your mouth and praise him in your presence. Fullness of joy in your presence.
Can I say rejoice?
Hallelujah. God, let me walk in your presence. Mighty God, let me walk in your presence.
Bless the Lord, come bless the Lord. Draw near to worship Christ.
Say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Point your finger at him. Say, blessed is the man that trusts in him. Praise God. Tell him, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Shake your head and your finger wisely and sagely at them and say, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Let me tell you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, I believe tonight, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Come on, right now, if you've got money problems, you've got health problems, you've got family problems, whatever you've got going on in your life, get it into the presence of God tonight. Come on, lift up a voice, lift up a voice, lift up a praise. Magnify the Lord
always and again.